Chapter 16. Leia intended to be the first person to disembark from the Lambda-class shuttle, Fond Memory, when it touched down on Drubwilian, but her Nogri bodyguard, Bolfer, beat her to it. He growled at the two men in body armor who came running at the freighter along the narrow causeway that led to the main landing tower. Ignoring him, the two of them turned and set up a position on the causeway to hold people back. Then they parted and let a harried Lando Calrissian slip past. Leia ran down the landing ramp and hugged Lando fiercely. "I'm so happy to see you're not hurt." "I'm not, but my world is." Lando freed himself from her arms, tossed his cape back over his shoulder, and waved a hand out over the cityscape. "It's all over, Leia." The pure anguish in his voice arced pain through her heart. She followed his gaze and looked out over a city that she remembered as being pristine during her first visit, with high towers that made this portion of Drubwilian look as if it had been transplanted from Coruscant. The gentle sweep of archways and the elegantly worked decorations on the buildings had reminded her of images from Coruscant while her father was yet a child. Now it is Coruscant after Thrawn and the Emperor's return. The proud towers had been shattered, with fires guttering from the tops of some. Buildings had holes melted and blasted into them. Faint breezes teased draperies that hung out through broken transparasteel viewports, and down below, on the various causeways and streets, people moved listlessly along, carrying their most precious possessions on their backs or in their arms. Lando sighed. "The Yuuzhan Vong returned a week and a half after you left. They took up a position near the asteroid belt and watched us. Every so often a squadron of their coral skippers descends and hits a particular location. We fight back, of course, and get some of them, but less and less with each strike. It feels like they're using us to cull the weak and stupid from their ranks, leaving only the best and smartest and bravest behind to fight again." He slammed his right fist into his left palm. "I don't like their attacking us, but I like even less being mocked." Allegos appeared beside Leia. "Administer Calrissian, what you see as mocking you could be a healthy respect for your defenses here. Your people did stop an earlier assault." Lando nodded grimly. "We did, but these Yuuzhan Vong fight differently. It was the difference between dealing with crack Imperial troops and some local imp wannabe militia. These fighters are much better, and yes, more cautious, but they're just putting the polish on the force pike before they drive it into our guts." Leia put a hand on Lando's shoulder. "They didn't harry us as we came in." "They don't. They pick off a few of the outbound ships, but mostly let them run too. At least they do now. I think they expected a New Republic response by now." Lando gave Leia a sidelong glance. "You've got nothing from Coruscant to offer us, right?" She jerked a thumb toward Allegos. "Meet Senator Allegos Akla. He's here on an official fact-finding mission." "Better find your facts fast, Senator, before the Yuuzhan Vong melt them down with plasma blasts." Leia shivered. In all the time she'd spent with Lando, even when Darth Vader had usurped his command of Bespin, she'd never heard him so frustrated. She was willing to put part of it down to his not wanting to have to start over yet again, but she knew that was only a tiny piece of what was going on inside him. Lando always looks for ways to work around the system, whatever system that is, but with so little data on the Yuuzhan Vong, he can't find an opening to defeat them. Leia glanced around at the other spaceport towers. "Things look pretty empty. Everyone fleeing?" "Those who can, have." Lando shook his head impotently. "I had guards come up on the causeway here because your arrival will draw a lot of folks who want to get away." "How are your defenses holding up?" Allegos craned his neck and looked around. "I don't see much in the way of turbo laser batteries or concussion missile launchers." Lando's face brightened a little. "Nor will you. The Yuuzhan Vong hit the fixed sites pretty early on. Everything else is mobile and in hiding. When they come in, we try to harass them with fighters and steer them into areas where our mobile guns can engage them. They're learning, so they're making it tough, but we can shuffle things when they're not looking down on us and set up new ambushes. That's good as a stall tactic, but it won't win a war against them. Leia's eyes narrowed. We can do better.
Really? That mean you have a spare Death Star lurking around that will pulverize the asteroid belt and their command ship?
Command ship?
Alagos's head came up.
You've seen a big ship from them?
Yes, lurking near the asteroid belt. Lando waved them on to follow him. Come on down to my central defense facility. I can show you as much hollow on that ship as you want. We did make an attempt at taking it out, but our fighters never got close enough.
Leia dropped into step with Lando, leaving Alagos to trail behind them, and Bulfur leaping ahead to lead the way.
It's got to have a weakness. We can find it and exploit it.
I hope so.
We will, Lando. We must.
Leia sighed. It's the only chance Dubrillion has. Jaina pulled a comlink from the bulkhead recharger station on the fond memory. She handed another to Danny.
My mother has headed off the Lando. We can explore a bit, if you want. Stretch our legs.
The blonde woman accepted the device and clipped it to the lapel of the blue jacket she wore.
Sorry to take so long to find my jacket. You should have gone with her.
That's okay. Being cooped up with her for the trip out here was enough for now. I don't need to be there while she's being Princess Leia.
Danny blinked with surprise.
But your mother, she...
Jaina nodded and led the way down the landing ramp.
I know. She defeated the Empire and kept the New Republic safe.
Oh, don't look at me that way. I know what she did, and I love her dearly.
Sounds as if there is a but coming in there somewhere.
Jaina sighed as they stepped past the guards on the causeway and cut toward a set of stairs that would take them lower in the city.
Didn't you want to move out of your mother's shadow?
My mother cast a very small shadow, I guess.
The woman's green eyes sparkled.
She is an astrophysicist who got me to be looking out toward the stars. She kept a low profile, trying to pass beneath the sensors of the local government or the Empire or whichever warlord claimed our world in any given week. From her, I learned to marvel at distant worlds and systems. That's a big chunk of the reason I joined the Ex-Gal Society.
Your mother must be proud.
She is. I think she's pleased I chose to follow in her footsteps.
Taking after your father didn't interest you?
They split up when I was young. He was a bureaucrat, very much into rules and regulations that seemed pointless.
Danny shrugged.
At least with science, the rules you have to follow have reason behind them and produce results. I don't much care for bureaucracy, which was part of the fun of being with Ex-Gal. The edge of the galaxy was about 20 times closer than the nearest bureaucrat.
Jaina exited the stairs and stepped over a small pile of debris that had spilled into the street from a nearby building. She could have shifted it out of the way with the Force, but she didn't. In fact, she found herself pulling the Force back in because the pure misery of the people of Dubrillion clawed at her spirit. She understood their fear and pain, but the sharpness of it threatened to rend her.
At least you had some sort of choice, Danny. With my parents, I could be a smuggler who saved the galaxy, or a diplomat who saved the galaxy.
And you chose to become a Jedi.
Jaina shifted her shoulders uneasily.
That choice was pretty much made for me. My brothers and I are very strong in the Force.
Danny arched an eyebrow as she pulled abreast of Jaina.
You regret being a Jedi?
No, not at all.
Jaina hesitated, then sighed.
It's something neither of my parents became, so it let me have something to myself.
That's part of being a twin, too, I guess. Everyone expects we'll be alike, even though we're fraternal, not identical.
I think I begin to see what you're saying.
Danny offered her hand.
Pleased to meet you, Jaina Solo.
So tell me, just who are you? Laughter erupted from Jaina.
I don't know who I am. I'm only 16. I know parts of it. I know I'm a really good pilot, and I'm not bad as a Jedi. I know I'm getting tired of being my mother's daughter and my father's daughter.
and part of me even knows that it will take time for me to emerge from their shadows. I also know that there are folks out there who think I'm going to be the salvation of the galaxy because I'm a Jedi, and others who think I'm doom on 2 feet for the same reason. The older woman hooked an arm through Jaina's right elbow.
I remember when I was 16. I was all elbows and knees and pretty sure I knew all there was to know about anything worth knowing.
Uh-huh. And now at the ripe old age of, what, 21? You know how foolish you were back then?
21, yes. And yes, I do think I was not as wise then as I am now.
Jaina, I remember not wanting advice. The younger woman smiled.
So you'll give it to me anyway.
My point is, Jaina, that people have a choice when they start to look at who they are. Some people decide they want to be like others. They use them as examples, try to do the things they do, and do their best to follow in their footsteps.
Danny smiled. I was like that with my mother.
And the other type of people? They try to be the opposite of someone?
Right. And the problem with that strategy is simple. There are a million ways to be unlike someone, and the potential for disaster is unlimited, because instead of choosing a path and adjusting it to make it right for you and the circumstances, you push all that away.
Danny gave Jaina's arm a squeeze.
You may not want to be your mother. You may ache for the day when you won't be seen as her daughter, but that doesn't mean your mother doesn't have a lot of admirable qualities that you might want to embrace.
Jaina nodded, letting Danny's words bounce around inside her mind for a bit. She knew she was both disappointed and relieved by her mother's failure to learn more about the Force. Being a Jedi already gave her a piece of identity that her mother didn't have. And in being a pilot, she did seem to have picked up one of her father's better traits. And Mom's commitment to the causes that catch her up is certainly admirable. Her relentlessness and willfulness, while annoying to me, are good traits, too.
Jaina shot Danny a sidelong glance.
So, this wisdom thing, that kicks in when? About 17 or 18?
Maybe, with a good role model.
Good. I guess I can take my pick from some of the best.
Jaina smiled.
I may not know who I am, but I think you've pointed me to a good path for finding out.
It's the least I can do for half the team that saved me from the Yuuzhan Vong.
The two of them stopped as they rounded a corner and came upon a crowd of people gathered before a government food storehouse. Armed security troops stood at the doorway. A couple of frantic clerks beseeched the people to disperse. They announced they were waiting for a shipment of supplies and would be setting up local relief centers in neighborhoods. They said no one would be getting food directly from the storehouse, but the sentiment voiced by some in the crowd supported the idea that the troops and bureaucrats wanted to keep the food only for themselves.
Danny shivered. These people, they're such need.
Jaina slowly opened herself to the Force and felt the desire and urgency pouring off the crowd. She abruptly turned Danny around and headed back toward the spaceport.
I know you're Force-sensitive. I should have steered you clear of here.
Did you feel it, Jaina?
I did, when I opened myself to it. I'd shut some of it out just because it hurts so much, which is why I didn't skirt this place.
You can do that. You can shut things out.
Danny frowned.
I mean, I thought the Force was vital for the Jedi.
The Force is vital for everyone, but negative emotions are the bane of the Jedi Knight. Too much of that can frustrate you, lead you to despair and rash acts that are of the dark side.
Jaina stretched her senses out and located the distant spark that was her mother.
I can show you how to screen a lot of the negative stuff and teach you a few more of the simple telekinesis exercises. But first, I want to find my mother. She ought to have a clue as to how desperate things are getting here.
You're right. Thanks for getting me out of there.
No problem.
Jaina gave her a quick nod.
That's for calibrating my compass. Now that I've got a better idea where I'm going, perhaps I can actually get there.